It's of course Yom Kippur, and our reading, special reading sent for today, therefore Bamidbar Numbers 29, 7 through to 11. From the Haftarah we had Yeshayahu, Isaiah 58, 1 through to 14. The nature of a true fast there, the classic passage. It's not that God is against fasting, but he's against fasting which doesn't change you. The real fast, as you're going to hear this afternoon. And Hannah's just sharing with you in that discussion group this afternoon. The real fast there is a fast that gets inside you. It means something. It changes you. It has a purpose. That's the fast that God accepts. From the Masonic writings there, we had the author of the writer, the author there, so the letter of the Hebrews, whoever that was, and that was chapter 9 and verses 6 through to 15. Yom Kippur is an awesome day. I hadn't realised when I wrote this actually how it would deeply connect with the liturgy. I want to just go back to the liturgy at the very beginning of this morning. Just quote something for you very quickly there again. Something that really spoke to me this morning in a way that it hasn't before. And it said this about our sins and how God sees them, they are known to him. And then comes a series of questions. What are we? What is our life? What is our kindness? What is our righteousness? What is our helpfulness? What is our courage? What is our strength? What can we say before your face, O Lord our God, and God of our fathers? The powerful are as nothing, the famous as if they did not exist. Clever without reason, the wise as without understanding. For all of our accomplishments are effectively worthless. Days vanishing like breath before your face. And we can read those words. And we can pray those words. Feel the sense of those words. What it spoke to me this morning is that when we are looking at ourselves on a day like Yom Kippur, when we are deeply introspective, deeply reflective upon who are we? What is our life? What are we as human beings? It begins a discussion, it begins a narrative, and we begin to look at ourselves in this way. And as someone has already prayed this morning or said this morning, it's like before God, we are just burnt grass, chaff to the wind. On one level, if we think we're that important to God, then we deceive ourselves. Of the billions who've gone before his face through all of history. We, us individuals, are as just worthless before his face. Useless. As nothing before him. The questions are good. What are we? Who are we? What is this all about? And on Yom Kippur, we address these questions. Right now, this day, Yom Kippur, we stand before God expecting, wanting, needing atonement to be brought close to him again. We ourselves are under the spotlight to look at who we are, what we've done, said, thought, our very being. And yet it's not just us. There are good questions. But I want to suggest to you we've got to push on even further than that. To the questions which I suspect that each one of us has asked, but no one really also dares to admit to asking. The questions that Moshe asked in his life. The questions that Moshe asked, that we all asked. On a day like Yom Kippur, when we hear about our sins and we hear about God's judgment, and it's the day of judgment this day, when on a day like this, our single most thought, our image or picture of God on a day like this is as someone with a big stick that is ready to whack us and to punish us for all our sins. It begs a question again through all of this, not just who am I in relation to all of this, but who is God on a day like this? I just don't mean a question like who is God, Who is he? What is he like? We know on one level what God is like. We've all read the scriptures. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, who is God? Who are we? Who is God? I mean, really? I don't just mean who. I mean what? I mean how? I mean why? Have you ever asked yourself those deep questions? Because today we come face to face with a God that makes us question our own existence when we stand before him. Who is God? And you say, but Rabbi, come on. You're asking this question? If you're asking this question, what hope is there for me? But it's a question which I'm absolutely sure goes through your head, because Moshe asks exactly the same questions. And I want this day to explore a little bit more on this one, because it begins to blow our minds. Is he just the one who's ready to whack us, to punish us on a day like Yom Kippur? Is there something that we've not seen, a depth to God we've not understood? Who is God? What? How? Why? Have you ever asked yourself that question? The existential questions of God and us? I think you have. I'm not sure that each one of us would dare to even say that we sometimes utter those questions. Moshe did. In fact, we know at least on one occasion, two occasions at least, we know this is going through his mind. You know, Moshe, when he encounters God, and the Lord says to him, Moshe, I want you to go down to Egypt, and I want you to say to my people, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to free you. And Moshe's about to go, and he's thinking about, okay, and then a question occurs to him, doesn't it? Has he got the burning bush there, the fire consuming it? He doesn't understand, he doesn't get God, he's not really fully seeing it. And then a question comes into his mind and says, actually, who shall I say sent me? Give me your name, that I can at least tell my people who you are. And that may sound like a crazy thing to ask of God. But don't forget, Moshe was the one who grew up and came out of Egypt. In Egypt, every god had a name. They were their name. And so Moshe said, Lord, at least tell me who you are. He knows, has no idea at this point. His memory and thought of God was this ancient times that was handed down to our people who were still suffering in Egypt. And this God appears to Moshe in a way that just completely blows his mind of understanding of how the universe works, and he's grappling at straws and trying to hold on to his own mind in all of this, and he's saying, at least tell me your name. Who are you? And God doesn't tell him. God can't tell him. He says, I am. Who I am, I was, am, will be for eternity. God effectively says, I am a God who has no name. I just am. It's me. Who I am is just who I am. I can imagine Moshe thinking, that's not going to work. You haven't answered my question, but Moshe's yearning in all of this, I believe, is part of all of each and every one of us. Who is God? Who is he? There's more in all of this, I believe. When he gets to the next situation, Moshe's still not happy with the situation. He gets to the next encounter, and Moshe's still wanting more. He's still wanting more. And it's only recently, actually, that I've really begun to understand a little bit more of Moshe's life in this regard. And it gets to that point, doesn't it, where Moshe meets Adonai. That appointment in time today, that appointment in time when we are here for him to meet God. And you'd think, would you not, at that point, that Moshe would be dancing with joy. This is the moment. And yet, what do we find We have demands, we have questions, we have thoughts from Moshe again that runs through here. This is from chapter 33 of Shemot. He says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found mercy and grace in your sight, show me your ways." And show me yourself, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And then also, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. It says, Lord's going, what are you asking? I will give you shalom. My presence will go with you. And he says, if your presence does not go with us, and you know, then don't even bother if your presence isn't with us. And then he comes back round the loop again, because Moshe is still not satisfied with the situation, because he's desperate to know who God is. And he says to the Lord, please, show me your glory. Show me. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see the Lord I love, the God I follow. I want to see you, Lord. It's an astonishing question that he puts before the Lord at that point. Moshe demands more than just mere platitudes. He is not going to be satisfied with a wall tapestry of key verses if you hang on the walls of our living rooms and in our hallways. He's not going to be satisfied with that. He's not interested in trigger verses. He wants more. He's seen so much of life. He's seen what is going on here. At this point now, as they're out, we've seen the miracles, we've seen everything that has gone on. You'd think at that point, with everything he had seen in his life, that Moshe would be saying, I know God. And yet, he still stands before God and says, I want to know you, Lord. I want to see you. Show me your glory. Show me your presence. In fact, he really nails it. He says, I want to know you. I want to understand you, God. It's as if Moshe at that point is pleading with God, please lift the hood of the universe and just let me see how it all works. I want the mechanics of it all. I want to make sense of God. The audacity of it all, actually, when you think about it. It's like, I've followed you since Egypt. I've led your nation. I've seen deep hardships, great defeats as well as victories. And now he says, enough already. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want to see behind the veil that divides the physical from the spiritual. He says, just once, I want to see, just once. Please, Lord, let me see who you are. And I'm beginning to understand, Moshe. As I'm maybe beginning to get a little bit older of myself, life's experiences are beginning to build up there and compound more and more in my life. As a thing I'm beginning to see, something that we fight against, something that we resist, something that becomes a problem to us as human beings when we worship our God, and it's this stuff that we live within. Our very existence screams against the unseen, non-tangible world in which God lives and from which he works. And like Moshe at this point, he's living in the reality of this planet and his people and everything that's going on around him. And deep, deep inside of him, there is that crying out to God, I want to see you beyond all of this. A yearning, a longing for God. And then the problem is, in all of this physical world that we live in, the hardest thing to believe and trust in the God in whom we cannot see, touch, smell, hear, or taste. It's the hardest thing to believe in a God like this. And Moshe at this point, I believe, is up against it. In some ways, he's getting a crisis. Not the first time in his life. A crisis where he's saying, God, I need more than this. I need to see you. I need to touch you. I need to connect with you in a way which is almost impossible. What underneath all of this, I believe that we hear and is so powerful for a day like today, for Yom Kippur, a yearning to encounter God. Each and every one of us is why you're here today. You don't just want to come and pray. You don't want to just do the liturgy. You don't just want to dress in white. It's not about that. You're here because you want to encounter God. There's something in us, like with Moshe, that is reaching out saying, God, show me yourself today. Show me you. It's the hardest thing in a world as physical as this, to believe and follow a God that we cannot see. Every scientist, every psychologist, every philosopher will tell us the same thing. You are mad. We have no photos of him to put on our wall. We have no images, nothing concrete, nothing that we can hold on to. And humanly speaking, if we are open and honest with ourselves, it is utterly comprehensible, this moment that he arrives at. And the Lord's reply to him, I think, is one of the most beautiful replies for each and every one of us, for Moshe, but for him in particular. The Lord's reply is this: I will make my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious and I will have compassion. But he said to Moshe, you cannot see my face. For no man shall see God and live. That's the truth. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on this rock. The beautiful thing is, God doesn't conclude that conversation by saying, if anyone sees me, you will die. He continues, and so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face you will not see. I think it's one of the most beautiful responses ever to Moshe at that point. Moshe is not allowed to see God. His request is flat denied. God knows what Moshe is asking. And he says, it's impossible. What you ask is impossible. No mere mortal ever could see God. He's literally asking for the impossible. So deep is his yearning now inside him to have that encounter with God. Face to face. Show me, God, who you are. We can understand him. He wants to see God. He wants to truly know God in the way that Adam and Chava, I would suggest, were the only other human beings to know God in that way. When they walked with him in the garden, they were the only ones who knew him in that way. We have not known God in that way. We have not seen God. Adam and Chava did. They walked with their Creator in that way. When you yearn for God that deeply, when you long and desire for God in that way, you get to that same place that Moshe got to. Lord, let me see you. Reveal yourself to me. He said, but when I have passed by, you will see my back. And I've wondered so often over the years. Apparently you can't see God's face, but you can't see his face, but you can see his back. Seeing his back is still seeing God. And you will die, yes? And I never got an answer to this over the years until this year. When I was preparing for Yom Kippur, and what was going through my heart was Moshe's grappling with God. a longing for God, a desire to see Him. And I was reading through this passage and suddenly, as it were, revelation came, a light came on for me this year. First of all, what we see is in God's response to Moshe, His deep, passionate love for this man. He could have just blown him off and said, "You're asking the impossible, go away." He doesn't. All the way through this conversation, His love for Moshe is literally oozing from every sentence, every word. It's like He's saying to Moshe, "Believe me, I would if I could, but you're asking the impossible." And yet we find here that God is literally bending over backwards for Moshe to accommodate His longing and His love and desire, to show Him as much as He can. In that itself, it's an amazing response. He wants Moshe to see. He really does want to rip open that veil between the physical and the eternal spiritual realm and give Moshe that glimpse, even for a moment, of what it means to be God. What I'm saying to you this morning, we ask the question, who is God? You know, none of us have opened through, gone through that and literally looked upon God. None of us know who God is in that way, in His eternity, in His awesomeness, in His glory, in His transcendence, in everything about Him, which if we did see it would literally slay us on the spot. We cannot imagine who God is. It's beyond our power, beyond our minds, beyond our brains, to even grasp for a moment. God is God, is God, is God. And we are mere men and women, mere mortals. Who are we? What are we before You, O God? Like dust in the wind, that even the famous are as nothing, the clever are as the dumbest of all. Do you see how the questions reverberate now? When we actually think, who is God? Because Moshe's there. He wants to know. And the answer is so beautiful, because what God is saying effectively to Moshe, He says, "I cannot show you who I am, but I can show you the facts after the event." His footsteps as He walks off into the distance, when we are still at that moment where God has been and done, when He's acted. The moment that we cannot see it, but yet we see after the events, as it were, His glory moves on. The footsteps that we see in the ground, we know God was here. We haven't seen Him, but He was there. The evidence of His presence, that He really was present and visible, not merely just transparent. In that sense, we have seen God. He breaks into the physical world when He takes us up out of Egypt, when He raises the dead, when He heals the sick, when He acts in power and glory in our lives. Each and every one of these moments, it's like we're suddenly, "God, You are God," and we see the footprints as His glory moves on. That is the bit that we are privileged and allowed to see of who God is. In this physical world that we inhabit, He leaves His fingerprints on everything He touches. That we're allowed to see. It's like He says to Moshe, "The evidence of My activity is what I leave you. It is enough. It is enough." I think the problem is when we are in this loop, when we're seeking God in His way, it's not that we need to see God, actually. You know what? Actually, I don't want to see God when I think of it this way. Because if I did, I would be tempted to make an image or an idol. I'd be tempted to try and fashion something which would represent what I have just seen. And ultimately, we would end up committing idolatry. We'd begin to worship that thing. And we reach forward now to a place where the key begins to unlock this scenario. What we need is not to see God, We need an encounter with God. But it's not to see him. What we need is our faith to see God. And Moshe wanted physical. He wanted names. He wanted something tangible before him. And God says, you're not having this. I'm not giving it to you. I'm not showing you something in that realm. What the Lord responds is for Moshe to respond back to him in faith, to trust him, because that is so much more powerful than any idol, any idolatry, any form, any structure, anything that we could create. God has no image because he's without limits. He's unlimited. There is no form that would ever represent him. There is no structure. There is no physicality in that way. God is God because we do not understand who he is in this way. Our brains simply will not comprehend it. And in case you're asking and thinking to yourself, yes, but Rabbi, we know that God himself came down to us in human form as Yeshua. I would throw it back to you this question. And do you really understand that Yeshua is fully God and fully human? Do you really understand that? Because I don't. I don't understand how that can be a thing. And if we try to engage our human comprehension in all of this, we begin to rob ourselves of something that God really wants from us. And that is faith. Faith is what it is that unlocks this scenario. Faith it is that transcends the physical and moves us into that spiritual realm. Faith begins to part the curtains before us. Faith it is which takes us actually into the presence of God. We cannot physically be transformed and take it into that Holy of Holies in eternity before God. It is not possible. This doesn't survive the transition. But faith can take us in. Faith, our spirit lifts us. Faith takes us before that throne of glory. Faith makes a way. Faith makes it possible in a way that the physicality of this world cannot. The only way to connect with our God is to step up in faith and believe and trust and hope in this all-powerful God, the God you cannot see and yet who just is, the God who says, I am eternally. Believe in me, have faith in me, trust in me, and we connect with him, and then we see his fingerprints after the event in our lives. That, says God, is enough for you. The rest you cannot see. But by faith you will live, by faith you will walk, by faith you will trust in my power, by faith you will connect with who I am. And suddenly when you begin to understand this, then these questions that we ask of who we are and who God is, faith takes us beyond that. Faith takes us to a place where we sit in awe and we say, God, you are God. Awesome. Beyond human words, beyond description. The words, even the scriptures that we have, are really just a concession to physicality, that we have them written down, that we can read them. Even the very words cannot come close to describe the beauty and awesomeness and holiness of God. And on a day like this, as we right now are dying because we are not eating food, we are going through that process of our life slipping away from us in our hands. On a day like today, we actually stand before God in all his awesomeness, all his amazingness. And it's faith that takes us to that place. It's why it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God without faith. Because faith is the bridge that spans that spiritual existence, takes us into that other realm that we cannot see, we cannot touch, taste, smell. But it is as real as all of this in which God inhabits. Faith, people. Faith takes us to that place. Faith is the key. It's why faith and not sight is supremely important called walking in the Spirit, as it calls it in the Masonic writings. And the tragedy of our spiritual lives is that we rob ourselves of the fullness of our walk with God if we are fleshly, if we are legalistic, if we are carnal in our approach, if we only function on a human materialistic level. We rob ourselves of that walk with God in faith and in trust, the walking of the Spirit. We rob ourselves if we approach the mitzvot with a purely legalistic attitude, if we just see them as something we've got to do, if we do not connect with the faith in that way, then we literally do not see the reality and the depth and the glory of who our God is. Faith shows us the how to walk with the mitzvot, holding the Father's hand. Is why Yeshua said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will speak to the mountain and it will move. He did not say, if you have seen God, then you will believe this to be true. He said, if you have faith that it is possible, you will reach out to God and into that spiritual realm, and suddenly nothing is impossible, because in the realm where God is, nothing is impossible. It is God and all his glory and power who created all of this, and still even today is God in all his glory, and nothing is impossible for him. If our faith is just that small size of that mustard seed, knowing just a little bit of who God is, then we will pray in faith and we will see miracles. Faith it is that allows God to break into this space and act, as it were, to see his back, to see his power, to see his ability, to see what God can do. It is faith that opens up that scenario for us today. And we may desire and long to see God. My response to you this morning is, that is a good, deep longing. I understand it. We all long to see our God. But I say to you, have faith, people. Have faith in God, because that unlocks the door. It's not sight that you want of him. It's more faith. It's more trust. It's more believing in his power, more acknowledging his power and ability in your life. Because if you have that, you will see greater things than all this in your lives. Bigger miracles than they even saw back in the day. Because that's who God is. God can, because he is. I am, said God. I have no name. I just am. Have faith in what I am, in faith in who I am, and what I can do. Allows us in faith to see the truth of Yeshua's own comment, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Faith. Yes, God is judge. Yes, ultimately God will be the destroyer. We know that is true. We see it in the scriptures. His judgment is coming. But you know, go back through history. Noah, Abraham, Moshe. The scriptures say about these people, they found grace in the eyes of the Lord. They found God's favor. Why? Because they had faith. And it was faith that stayed God's judging hand in the day of Noah, to save even just the 8 who were in the ark. And right now, it is faith in us, it's faith in the Jewish community and believers around the world. It's our faith in God, which is allowing the mercy of God to tarry and wait, that yet more may turn to him and see his salvation. We don't understand God. I doubt there's a person even in this room who right now would say that you understand God. I don't understand God. I don't comprehend him. I will never understand him in that sense. Moshe's yearning was for this. Our yearning is for it. But it's beyond our power and ability. Our ability right now to comprehend the fullness of who God is. And we will not. It's a road that will take us to a dead end. Leave that and step out in faith and believe and trust who God is. In the spiritual, you will see Him act in your lives. To not see is to have faith, as the writer of the Hebrews says. I love this verse because there's one word in this which connects with what I said this morning. And it says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Did you get that? Evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence of things not seen? How can you ever have evidence in the physical world of something that cannot be seen in the spiritual world? How can you have evidence? Well, we've already seen it. The footsteps in the sand. The back of God disappearing as His glory moves on from that moment. We see the evidence of God in our lives. The answers to prayer. The healing, the deliverance. The giving of finances so much that we could buy a place like this. This is the evidence of things not seen. God was here that day and answered prayers powerfully. You want to see God? You want to understand God? Well, you'll never understand Him, but you will see Him in faith if you're there in faith and trusting, because the evidence is all around you in your changed lives, in the power of God that's changed you over the years. The situations you've been in where God has broken in and done X or Y, and that moment in praise and worship, you've looked down to see the footsteps and His glory is moving on. That's all we ever are going to see. It is enough, says the Lord. I cannot show you any more. I will show you my presence, the evidence of this in your lives. It's faith that makes God big in our lives, that you will see those greater things. I'm going to wrap this up with a thought from a well-known Dutch author called Godfried Bormans. That's a quote which is often quoted in many places, but it's one of my favourites. And he said this: if I only believe what I understand, then my faith is no larger than my head. If I only believe what I understand, then my faith is no larger than my head. And what pitiful people we would be if that was only ever the size of our faith. We aren't just rational beings that live in this material world. We are spiritual beings that can connect with our God in faith. And this Yom Kippur, I want to ask you, urge you to have faith that God can do the impossible. The situations in your life, the things that need forgiveness, the habitual patterns of behaviour, whatever it may be, that you've cried out to God for. In a sense, this world's entrapping you, ensnaring you, making you believe that you can never break out of X, Y, or Z. I want to encourage you this morning, have faith. Faith is the key as you reach out to God that He can and will do the impossible. You can break out of this into the spiritual world, but it's by faith that we do this. God has made a way for forgiveness in a way that we will never truly understand. I do not understand the mechanics of what happened on the execution stake that day. We will never, this side of glory, fully understand what happened that day. But I do know it's true. I do believe it happened. I know in my spirit it is real. I have the reality of the testimony of the Spirit in my life. It is real. It happened. However God did it, I do not know, but I know that it is real. And we are here today because it is real. By faith, God declares, I forgive. That is our encounter with God today. That is where we come face to face with God on a day like Yom Kippur. That is our encounter today. God is with us right here, right now, if we reach out in faith. And he says to us, I hear your cry. I cannot show you my face, but I forgive. I am here. The evidence of my presence you will see in your life right now, today. I forgive. I am here. That is our encounter with God right now. Amen.